This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is June 16, 1983. The interview is taking place in Ephrata, Washington, and is being conducted by Janet Rasmussen. Tell me your full name. Tell me your name.
I don't even know it.
Your name?
My name, I know.
Well,
Anna K. Hansen. That's my name in this country. That's my social security number.
Is Anna K. Hansen?
Yeah.
Right. What was your family name? The name you were born with?
Smith. And that's a German name. And that is not my. I don't know what my name was, to be honest. But because my folks had changed, we lived down my. Folks delivered out by Germany. And I think that it changed the name to be a German name because they could get along better. I don't know, but that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So before you were married, you called yourself Smith?
Yeah.
How did you spell it?
Like the Germans do.
Smith?
Yeah. Uh-huh. S-E-S-E-S. I can't hardly spell it anymore.
No. But what did the K stand for?
Huh?
What did the K stand for? Anna?
Christina.
Anna Christina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kirstina.
Kirstina.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. When were you born?
1888.
1888.
Yeah.
What day and what month?
15th of November.
Where were you born?
In Austrup.
Can you spell that for me?
A-S-C-R-U-P, Austrup, mm-hmm. Per Hotze. That was the address.
Per?
Yeah, that was like, you know, I don't know what that meant, but that was. That was sort of they can find the right place.
Say it one more time. Per?
Yeah, Per. Per Holsten.
Per Holsten.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is in which part of Denmark?
Well, that were in Jylland.
In Jylland, yeah?
Yeah.
On the south, in the south, in the north?
Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What were your parents' names?
My father's name was Peter Jessen Smith. That is the name he went by, but I don't know what the real one. And my mother was Olina.
Mm-hmm.
Olina Anderson was before she was married.
Did both of them come from that same community? Were they born and raised there?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm one of the younger ones. We were a big family of 12 kids.
12 kids?
Yeah. 6 girls and 6 boys. Oh. And I'm the last one of all of them. And I have lived to be the oldest one. I don't know what I'm here for, but I'm here.
You're here, right. Well, and I'm glad you're here so you can tell your story. Do you remember your brothers and sisters' names?
Oh, golly, yeah.
Can you just go through them for me, starting with the first one? What were their names?
Well, the first was Ingeborg Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And... But I don't know just exactly who was the first, I think. Well, the boys was Michael,
mm-hmm.
And Anders, and then Maria and Kirsten, and Meta, and Petrina, and then me. I'm the ninth one, well, mm-hmm. And there was 3 after me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did any of the others come to the United States? Any of your other brothers and sisters?
Well, one of my sisters came.
Which one?
Meta.
Meta.
Yeah.
And where did she settle?
Well, she settled neighbor to me in this country.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll hear more about that in a minute. What did your father do for a living?
He was a farmer. He was a humble gourmet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Denmark, the house meant a gourmet. Mm-hmm. What is the big...
Bonde?
Huh?
Bonde? Bondeman?
Yeah, well, they're all bondmen, you know, if they're farmers.
Yeah.
Well, there's a high... You know, in the Denmark system, they used to have their own whole community.
Oh, uh-huh.
And one of my... Well, now, this don't concern my family, but in a way it does. He was a... You know, I'm getting so I can't remember. You should have come sooner.
Uh-huh. Well, he was one of these large landowners.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your father was a
gourmand.
He was a gourmand. So he had his own farm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how big a farm was that?
Well, it was a big farm, but it was on up there, now. That was raw land. They were like Cyprus land, unless it, over there was lyng.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Heather.
Yeah, yeah. Heather. Lyng, uh-huh. Lyng we called
so
it.
So it hadn't been farmed, really.
Yeah, yeah. And my brother had got the farm, and he was still breaking up land,
mm-hmm.
and added on to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was I can't remember that because
that's okay.
It wasn't counted so many acres of land. It was so many skipper.
Mm-hmm. Well, they used a different
yeah.
way of measuring.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And we had a big farm. We had lots of land. Like I said, I'm talking about the hens. Like I say, we had a lot of land that wasn't improved yet.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Did you have cattle or?
Oh yeah, we milked cows.
Milked cows.
Yeah.
Did your mother work outside the house?
Oh, sure, we all did.
What kind of jobs did you have when you were young?
Well, I could do anything on a farm. I could even beat a man hoeing weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I worked out, you know, hired out.
You did hire out?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I did. There was so many of us, we couldn't hardly live in.
You had such a big family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did your farm, did the buildings go in a square?
No, we didn't have them that big.
Uh-huh.
No, it wasn't that big. No, it was like this.
Okay, it was an angle,
yeah.
Two sides
yeah.
of that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Did you go to school?
Of course I went to school every day.
Of course you did, every day. How far was it to school?
Do a half a mile in Denmark.
Half a Danish mile?
Yeah, and that equal to 2 American miles.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were late to school, we have to stay after school. But when we were by ourselves, we didn't have to stay after. We were excused. But when we were with some of them that was closer to town, then we'd all have to stay after school.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. How many years did you attend school?
Well, I started when I was 16 and when I was confirmed, you know.
Right. You were 14 or 15 when
about 14, I guess.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You can sit back. Yeah, that'll be more comfortable. Yeah. Did you take time off during the school year to work in the fields or help?
Well, my mother was sick. My mother was sick for 3 years, and I was allowed to stay out of school to help take care of her. But if it was for anything else, we'd have to pay to the school. We paid 3 cents the mm-hmm. first day, and 6 the next, and then 12 to keep them. So I didn't pay people to keep the kids out of school. Mm-hmm. That's the way we had it. That's the way it was then. I don't know how it is now.
No. Yeah. What sort of an illness did your mother have?
She had cancer.
Did she?
Yeah.
But did she recover?
Oh, no.
No.
She suffered awfully. Agony. Yeah.
How old were you when she died?
I wasn't 15 years old yet.
So you had not been confirmed yet when you lost your
Yes,
mother.
I had been confirmed.
Just confirmed.
And I was to stay home that summer after I was confirmed. And my mother said no, she'd have help. But then she happened to get worse, and then she passed away. That is the worst thing of my life, is when my mother died.
I can imagine. Did you help then to take care of your younger brothers and sisters? Or?
Well, no, not really. There was two younger. I had a sister and a brother younger than me. And my older sister, who was married, took one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a hard life,
yeah.
A mighty hard one, but we lived through it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's something we have to live through, whether we like it or not, mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. like being old like I am, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't help it, and I'm getting old every day.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm lucky that I feel good.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Well, let's talk a little more about what you did when you went out. Then you'd finished school, you were confirmed, and what did you do then to earn a living? How did you earn a living?
Well, I worked in the field,
for different
weeds, and then, you know, we read beets for the cows over there and things like that, mm-hmm. Well, I sound like I'm bragging.
No.
You know, I could not meet anybody in the field.
You could outwork them.
Yeah.
You did very well, in other words.
Yeah.
Did you live at other people's farms then?
Oh, yeah, in other people's homes.
What sort of a wage did you get?
Huh?
What sort of a wage did you get?
Well, sometimes I was paid by the month, sometimes by the year. Uh-huh. And one of our neighbors hired my older sister. She didn't want to work for over there, but they just almost made it. And so she said she would work for the month. She was getting 180 crowns a month. But then after they had hired her, they said, could they have me instead of her? And yeah, but they couldn't pay me that much. They wouldn't pay me that much because I was much younger. I was just a kid out of school. But
mm-hmm. How many years did you go on then like that, working for other people on the farms?
Well, I guess till I was 20, then I came over here.
Mm-hmm. How did you decide to come to America?
Well, because somebody was my husband, who was become my husband, came home from this country, and I like to go over here, and he took me over.
Aha! How? When did you first meet your husband?
Well, I don't remember exactly.
Was he from that same community?
Yeah, where I was working. Mm-hmm. Then I wasn't working for the farmer that time. I was working for a butcher. a man that was a butcher, and he also had farming. And my husband was from that. They were from Fulton.
Oh, from
Fulton. I had worked for Fulton.
Mm-hmm. What was your husband's name?
Holger Hansen.
Holger Hansen.
Yeah.
And when was he born?
Well, I don't know. He was.
Was he older than you?
He was 4 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
And he was in September. The 6th was his birthday. That's all I remember.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And you met him then when you were how old? About.
Oh, I must have been 18.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think exactly because.
Why did Holger decide to come to the United States?
Well, his brother was over here, and he had sisters and brothers over here, several of them. He had some in Minnesota, and he had a brother that came over when he was only there. He wasn't grown up yet.
Uh-huh.
And he came over to stay with some of the relatives that was already over here, in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Right. So your husband-to-be, your fiancé, came over.
Yeah.
And got established.
Yeah.
Where did he settle?
Well, we settled in Stratford. Well, my home, that's where my home's today, and it's still there.
In Moses Lake?
No, Stratford.
Stratford?
Yeah.
Is that in Washington?
That's, you go from Stratford to Moses Lake on the Stratford Road.
On the Stratford Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
And that's where our homestead is, and still there.
Your homestead is still there?
Yeah.
How large a homestead did you have?
Huh?
How large was your homestead?
Well, we was allowed 160 acres. And then we were allowed to take additional. And we did that. And that was poor land then. Because then we improved. What should I call it? Something wrong with that nut hand.
Well, what do you know why your husband decided to come out here?
Huh?
Why did your husband come to Central Washington?
Well, because his brother was already here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so his brother was here in
yeah.
the area.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he had a lot of horses. He raised wild horses.
What was your husband's brother's name? What was that brother-in-law?
Hans Hansen.
So Hans Hansen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he had a homestead right near yours.
No, I don't know if he had a homestead. Yeah, he had a homestead close by there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now you said that you came over with your sister, Meta, too.
She came over. She wanted to come after I had come over here. She wanted to come on.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was she married then at that time?
No, she was married. Hans wanted he wanted to know if I had a sister. He wanted a sister.
Oh. So they got married?
Yeah.
Oh.
In Wilson Creek.
Where were you married?
In Albert Lee, Minnesota.
In Albert Lee, uh-huh.
We came to his uncle.
And you were 20 years old?
Yeah.
At that time?
Yeah.
What was it like to leave Denmark?
Huh?
What was it like to leave Denmark?
Well, it was wonderful.
You felt good?
To get to travel.
Uh-huh. What was your route? How did you travel?
Well, we came on a train to Esbjerg,
mm-hmm.
and then we got on a boat to go across the North Sea.
Mm-hmm.
in a boat. Mm-hmm. And then when we got to Liverpool, then we came on the Lusitania. That was the biggest ship in the world at that time. That was on the same line that big boat that sunk a few years after, that brought all those rich millionaires.
The Titanic.
John Jacob Astor was on that, and his wife, and he sent his wife and kid home, and he went down with the ship. And then there was a sister ship, Mauritania, that was next to Lusitania.
So you came on the Lusitania, and it was a good trip? You had a good trip?
Yeah, it was a good trip, which was wonderful. I used to have it wrote down the days. I left home May the 5th.
Yes.
And we was in Minnesota the 17th.
The 17th, you were.
I remember, for that was my oldest brother's birthday.
When you got to New York, you went through immigration.
Yeah.
There. Was that a problem?
No, because my dad, my husband could hardly know where he, and he could talk American. I had to do was hang on to him.
Okay, so he was along on this whole trip.
Huh?
Holger was along on the whole trip.
He
had gone home to Denmark to get you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how did you get from New York to Minnesota?
I don't remember. We come on the train, of course. That was the only way at that time.
Right.
Then there was no cars then.
How did you learn English?
By listening to others. That was nothing. It was nothing to it except I could have learned to talk perfectly if I'd had a chance, but I didn't. I was living out there on the homestead by myself. My husband had to go out work so to make a living. We didn't make a living on the farm because we didn't have the machinery and.
So it was.
I compare my homesteading to climbing a big mountain, starting on the steep side. It was really steep. Golly, I went homesteading and for millions. Mm-hmm. But then we got to the top.
Yeah. What was your first house like on the homestead?
That was 10 by 18. That was two-room house.
Yeah.
The whole house was that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we ever lived. I can't understand how we ever lived like we did.
Did you have a little kitchen area there?
Huh?
How did you cook?
Well, I wish I could get a chance to cook now, like I cooked then.
What sort of a stove did you have?
Well, it was just a little old stove. And then we finally had a big stove with a top on it. And that was a Windsor. I can remember that. We bought that from Montgomery Ward. Mm-hmm. And it was blue and silver, nickel, you know. We was always progressive. We always went ahead, regardless how poor we was. And we never went in there unless it was absolutely necessary. And that's what I consider our luck. We were lucky that we did it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Nowadays they buy things sometimes they never pay for them. Yeah, that wasn't the way we did it. Mm-hmm. It was paid for on time. We were honest people.
Mm-hmm. What did the land look like when you first came? What did the land look like?
Well, that was just like you see the Sagebrush country. Mm-hmm. That was all it was. Sagebrush everywhere. And that is the only thing we had to burn to keep warm and to cook with was sage brush. We'd go out in the fall and cut the brush and haul it home and stack it up in a big heap outside the house. Mm-hmm. And that lasted all winter. Mm-hmm. It was sturdy, but it made heat.
Mm-hmm. How did you get water?
We didn't have it and we didn't get it. And that was our drawback. There wasn't no water. We got water from the neighbors.
Did they have a well?
Huh?
Did they have a well?
Yeah, they have an open well. Mm-hmm. And I went over there to hang in a bucket of water. And when I had my first baby, I carried my baby in one arm and a bucket of water in the other. And the woman told me, don't waste the water. Well, they didn't have much. There was a shallow well, and they didn't have too much. So. Mm.
So you hand carried all the water that you needed in the house?
Yeah, but my husband, when he was home on Sundays, he got some barrels and hauled it in barrels for washing.
Mm-hmm. How long was it before you got water on your place?
Well, that's a long story. That was a long time. We packed water and then we had somebody drill a well, and that we didn't get. We finally had to buy it. We finally bought the drilling machine to drill a well. That's when. Then we had to hire a man to run it, and that's when we had water. And then later on, they now, of course, it's not like the homestead used to be. You should have seen it then and then seen it now. One of my grandkids has a solar system house. Mm-hmm. And the other one, there's two all out there on my homestead. And my youngest son is on the old place. They didn't get a new house yet. I don't think they ever will.
Well, you mentioned your first house, the little tiny one.
Yeah.
How long did you live in that?
18 years at least.
Wow.
I should have died long before that.
Did you get some, what did you put up then? First barns and other things?
Well, you know, the place where we homesteaded had been homesteaded before, and we bought the, they had given it up to the government. And so we bought the relinquishment, and there was a little scrubby barn on the, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. Well, the way we get along, I don't see how we ever did it.
You mentioned that your husband worked out to get extra money. What sorts of things did he do?
He farmed. He worked in the harvest fields. And then he would, in the wintertime, he'd trap coyotes and get poundy and sell the hides. And that's the way we made a living.
Was the climate very hard for you to take when you first came?
No, that didn't seem to be. I guess I was a tough old egg, always. Health, that was one thing that we didn't have to have doctors, not even when the babies were born.
All of your children were born at home?
Yep.
How many children?
Three. I had two boys and a girl. And the girl, I still have my boys, but my girl was passed away when she was in her early 30s. Mm-hmm. And she died from cancer. And that was hard, but there it is again. If it's God's will, you have to take it. We have to, there's things we have to take, whether we like it or not, because we are supposed to. Mm-hmm.
Tell me your children's names.
My oldest boy is Henry, and he lives in Freda. He's a mechanic, an auto mechanic, and an electrician, and a handyman. He makes jewelry out. He's a rock hound. He makes jewelry out of rocks. And the next one is Charlie. He's the one that, the youngest one, he's out on the farm. He runs the farm, and he raises cattle and farms, raises wheat and corn and everything. Mm-hmm.
And your daughter's name was?
Linda.
Linda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you and your husband speak Danish at home?
Huh?
Did you and your husband speak Danish at
home?
Oh,
yeah, we did. Yeah. And Linda could talk Danish, and she could even read the letters that we get. But I don't even hear from Denmark anymore.
You do not?
Uh-huh. No. Yeah. And she kind of bang out of talking Danish to me when there was people around. Mm-hmm.
Did the boys learn Danish then? Not.
Yeah, they can understand it, but they don't talk it. They feel foolish when they talk Danish. Mm-hmm. You know, there was somebody came over from the old country in fact, my youngest boy is born to one of their kids, and her uncle came over, and he liked to talk to Charlie. He talked to Charlie. Charlie could understand him, and he could answer him, but he says he felt so foolish. Mm-hmm. I think he could understand it yet some, but Linda just she was just. The way she could.
What was the first crop that you all produced on your homestead?
Well, I don't know. We hardly had anything. We raised. We had a low place where we raised potatoes, dry land potatoes, and they were wonderful potatoes. And onions and things like that in the garden. Oh, well, otherwise it was a wheat farm, you know. Mm-hmm. We raised wheat. Mm-hmm. And, oh golly, well, I'm getting in so deep that I'll never get out.
What, you mean about talking about things?
Yeah.
Oh!
Because, you know, in Denmark, we raise grain. And we harvest wheat and rye with a scythe.
Yes.
And tied the bundles. Well, I tied the bundles. That's that way back that I was. It seemed like sometime when I take out, well, I can't be that old. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But did you use the same methods here, or did you farm differently? Did you farm with different methods here?
Well, of course, it was smaller. Well, it was different here, too. Mm-hmm. No, we couldn't begin to farm in the... Well, if we farmed in this country like we did that over there, well, we'd never make a living.
Did you... get into town very often?
No, only when we had to. We had to walk. We had no transportation.
Mm-hmm. So you would walk if you were going?
Yeah.
How often would you go in to put in supplies, flour and sorts of things like that?
Well, now, after we got established so that we had our own horses, we would raise potatoes in this low land and and we'd haul them to town in the fall. And then we'd buy a supply like flour and sugar, 100 pounds of sugar at a time. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to know some of the other people in the... Did you get to know your neighbors and
Oh,
the
God,
others?
That's... I know my neighbors over there, but I know across the street. I don't even know back there. I know them for miles. And I had good neighbors. Now, like the Now Witnesses, some of my best neighbors. Greta, you know them.
Greta Odegaard.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Dylan's. And I'm their children's grandma.
Were there lots of Scandinavians then in that particular
area? No. No, there wasn't many. There were other Danish. I don't think there's any more Danish around there. Have you met any Danish over here except me? Well, that's too bad. I thought I'd get to find somebody.
No, but I can't say I would know for certain, but I don't think there are very many around now.
No. And they get Americanized, you know. Mm-hmm. They go to school and... Yeah.
What sorts of customs did you keep up from Denmark? Were there things you continued to do like you had done at home?
Well, I used to bake my own bread, my rye bread, and you should have seen my Danish pastry.
Oh.
You should have tasted it.
Mm-hmm.
See, the girl here, she is all against that. No sugar, no...
No sugar, huh?
No.
She's telling about her Danish pastry.
And as healthy as I am, I can beat you all. You live to be 100 years old and be as spry as I am. I'd like to see it.
Well, I would too. I would too.
Yeah.
So you continue to bake. You made the dark rye bread like that.
In the Danish, the dark rye bread. Mm-hmm. And my husband just loved it. Mm-hmm. And the white bread too.
Did you miss some of the things you used to have at home? Some of the foods and things?
Oh, God, I miss it all.
What did you miss, for example?
Well, now I don't get no good bread anymore like I used to have. Everything I made was good. You find from the neighbors, they'll talk to me, somebody I seen 20 years ago. Oh, I remember the food you brought to Greens. Sometimes I know she like it can't be so. I still like good food, and I still have it too. But, you know, now my son raises cattle, and we have all the beef we want from out there. It's in the amount of it. Mm-hmm. That's good beef, too. Mm-hmm. That we didn't used to have. But, you know, when he was a kid and we used to milk cows, he said, Pop, he said to his dad, why don't we let the cows do the milking? They like it, we don't. So we started to raise beef cattle, and that's how they started the beef cattle now.
Did you ever go back to Denmark?
No. I don't have no desire to, but when I would have liked to go when I was younger, I couldn't afford it. I could now. I could go now if I wanted to, but I don't have no... I can't go alone, so, no.
Did your sister ever go back?
Mm-mm. No, she couldn't afford it. She was just crazy to go back. She was worse than I was. She never liked the hair like I did. I made myself like it.
You made yourself. You think it was a matter of your attitude?
Yeah, but I could go out and make friends. I couldn't make money, but I could make friends. Mm-hmm. I could talk to anybody and be friendly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the Norwegians, they're the most wonderful people. They're just like my own. We visit with them.
She and her sister married brothers.
I heard that, yeah.
Huh?
I just heard that you and your sister married brothers.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
Did your sister have a large family?
Huh?
Did your sister have a large family?
No. She had a bigger family than that. But they were older than Hulk and I were the youngest in the two families. But we got along better. Seemed like. And my sister liked to get us. She would have gone, she would have given her eyes to see if she could have gone back to Denmark. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you and she talk Danish?
Yes.
All the time?
Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you become an American citizen?
Yeah. My husband did. And he wasn't, so I became an American citizen by marrying him. That's the way it was then. It's different now. Sometimes we have to go through school to make it.
Mm-hmm. So you just became one automatically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you have a very Danish wedding back in Minnesota?
Huh?
Did you have a Danish wedding?
Oh, no, we didn't have no wedding. No, no.
Not a big wedding.
This is my wedding ring.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't get that one before we were married. And his folks thought that I should have a ring. And we didn't have money, and we were going out here homesteading and start life all over. So we figured that better, instead of buying a ring, buy something we had to have. So I said, well, this. So he says, he'd buy one. But when they wanted me to have a ring, they wanted me to have one of theirs to wear for my wedding. He says, no. If you want a ring, I'll get you a ring, but you can't have somebody else's.
So you did get a ring?
Not then.
Not then?
No, so we just skipped it. So when we had our gold wedding anniversary, I got it.
Oh, for your 50th, you got your ring. Well, how many anniversaries did you celebrate together?
Well, that's all.
The 50th?
Yeah. And that's not so long ago. I didn't even know one day, what would that be?
Well, let's see. You were born in 88,
yeah.
And you got married when you were 20.
Yeah.
So that would be 1908.
Yeah.
That'd be right?
Huh.
So you would have celebrated your 50th in 58, in 1958. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long have you been alone now? When did your husband die?
15 years since he passed away.
15?
We had our first great grandson was born April the 1st, and he passed away the 28th. That's the way that is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What has it meant to you to be Danish? Is there something special you think of when you think of Denmark and the Danes?
I'm not ashamed of being Danish. I don't. But if they tell me I'm not American, that hurts my feeling because I'm a true American.
If you were going to start over again, is there anything you would do differently now with your life than what you did?
Oh, golly, I'd do everything different.
You would.
And not when I see my kids, they have good homes out there. I can say, and if I didn't have anything else, I have lived to see my kids didn't have to struggle like I did. And Mary will say then, Grandma, you started it all. If it hadn't been for you and Grandpa, we would have had it. And that makes me feel good. Anyway.
How long did you stay on your homestead, on your place there?
Well, I guess we stayed till we were from there all worn out. Well, we never lived in any other place until we had to. I couldn't stay out there alone, or I'd still be out there and raise the garden. My garden was wonderful out there. I had the best kind of a garden soil.
Did you add something to the soil, or it just was good?
Well, no. Yes, we had added stuff to it. Fertilized. We did that even in Denmark.
What sorts of things did you raise?
Well, mostly barnyard stuff. Mostly BS or barnyard stuff.
Oh, barnyard. That sort of fertilizer, yeah. Barnyard stuff, right. Did you raise vegetables then, mostly, or fruit?
We didn't raise any fruit. We had berries and other vegetables.
Good. I think we're going to stop here and turn the tape over. Okay, you were saying before that all of your children were born at home.
Yeah.
And you didn't have anyone come in to help you?
Well, she was the first one.
For the first one? A midwife or a doctor?
No, it was just a neighbor.
A neighbor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, this one that was born in the car, her husband came and we were to a dance. Mm-hmm. And they were, and he says, could you come and stay with Ellen? I have to go and get the doctor. Well, I said, sure, I can come and stay with Ellen anytime. I said, well, sure. And my husband says, you know, she was expecting a boy. And so that's what it was.
It was a boy. Mm-hmm. And you were...
No, it was a girl.
It was a girl.
Yeah.
And you were there when the baby was born.
When we had the doctor at the home, and he tried to... He's trying to take that baby with the forceps. I have never been so scared when one of my own boys was born or any of my kids. I thought she was gonna die, and I didn't think the baby would live. And so the doctor says, I have to get help, I can't do this. He was a young doctor. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'll have to get help. I'll have to go to Freda and find a doctor. Can you go with, can you take and wrap her up and go with him in the car? I said, sure I can. And so we started out for Freda. And in the meantime, oh golly, it was in the spring of the year. It was muddy and water puddles all the way. And we had gone a lot, and then finally she sat in the car. She said, the baby is coming. I say, okay, if the baby come, I know what to do. And I cut the cord with his pocket knife, and I tied the string. I tore a strip off of my white underskirt. This thing off. Yeah, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
You think that the baby would have died from wrongness like that. And we get, so we were between her home and my home. And I didn't have much of a home. And so I said, Ellen, do you want to go home? Or do you want to come to my house? I can take care of my house. Oh, she says, Anna, she always called me Anna. I want to go home. So I went with them out there, and we got cleaned up out and went to bed. Then in the morning, it was getting daylight, here comes the doctor that we were supposed to find in Ephrata. And he came to see if I had, if he had hurt the baby by taking it with the first chips. But he hadn't. The baby is still living.
Well, did most of the women that were there in the time you were homesteading, the very early part, did they all have their babies at home?
Not all, but most of them did. But they was getting so you could get a doctor. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did you ever have to call for the doctor, hardly? No?
No, then when I had my own baby, the last one, I didn't have no doctor. I was all alone. That's almost unbelievable, but that's the truth.
No one was there, not even your husband?
He was out working. And I had two boys, one was about 8 years old. He was going to school, the other was 7 or so. And we had the cows all. And they did herd the cows, and they'd go out on the open with the cows. And when they were to come home, I also hang up something white, a white sheet, the tablecloths, so they could see they was to come home with the cows. Well, this time, I know, of course, what was going to happen. So I didn't hang up the flag because I didn't want them home with the, to see me going through what I was going to go through. But I finally hung it up for the first time the boy, my oldest boy, said, well, he says, there's, we are supposed to come home, but he looks at the sky. He says, the sun is up too high. It's too early to take the cows home. She must have forgot to take it in yesterday, from yesterday. So they waited a while, and then it came up again. Then he said to Charlie, it must be that we have to come home. So they started home with the cows. And everyone, golly.
And you'd already given birth then, or the baby was still just coming?
It hadn't come, the water had broke. You never had a baby, so you don't know what it was like. But I was working on needles and pins. I was walking in and out. And then when they got there and they got the cows in the corral, Then I know they couldn't close the gate. I didn't want them to. I said to Charlie, you stay. I said to Hank, you could get your back and go and get Dad and tell him that Mama's sick. And Charlie, you stay by the gate so the cat can't come out. I had to use my mind to know what to do. And so he did. He stayed in the gate. The gate was laying down and the cows couldn't get out.
And
when my husband come home, he was in the, he was already in the yard. He heard the baby cry. He says he just went through the ground. Oh, golly. Well, I don't know.
Very few people could have gone through what you did, really. Yeah.
But I was there to do it.
Well, you said before that you everything kept improving. That you felt that life got easier.
Yeah. You know, like that poor old homestead out there. This year, Charlie had over 200 calves.
Your son, who's now farming it, or now has it. Yeah. Huh? Your son has now that many that he has.
Yeah. Yeah. And he
just this spring, last this season, last just this last season, 200 new calves.
And what hurts me, I can figure that I'm getting old, but that my kids are getting old. I was only 20 when I was born. I was 21 when Hank was born. And he's an old man now.
Yeah.
Time goes on.
Time goes on.
Yeah.
Time goes on.
Yeah, we go with it. The best we can.
Yeah. That's really good. Do you have any things that you brought with you from Denmark that you've kept all these years?
No, golly, I left everything there.
Did you?
Well, I couldn't bring anything. At that time, things didn't mean anything to me. I've been making apple dolls over here. I could do most anything with my hands. I've been crocheting stuff, I could do anything I set my mind to.
You have some things in your case there that you made? Or down here? Oh, yes.
Your apple dolls. Some of them just in that case.
Oh, your apple dolls. Oh, we can take a look at those, yeah. You've done some of that lace work. Did you do your handwork as a way to pass the time? Was that one of your major hobbies?
In the wintertime, that was my favorite. When we had the work done, outside work, and I can sit down and crochet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. How else did you all spend some of those precious moments when you weren't working? You mentioned that you had gone to a dance that one time when your neighbor lady needed help. Was that something common that the couples out there got together? Or?
Every so often when kids were going to school, you know, we had school programs like they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're looking at.
Well, this is a poem about that you wrote about the dried apple dolls, Ode of the Dried Apple Doll. Could I read that poem? That's your poem.
Oh.
About the apple
dolls. Yeah.
Can I read that aloud for
us? Yeah, okay.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
So it's on the tape?
Maybe you're known now.
Mm-hmm. I was raised in an orchard of apple trees. I was hanging on a limb and swinging in the breeze. I was quiet, high, and looking around. But how in the world could I get to the ground?
You see, it's rhyming.
Yeah. But then one morning it was getting cold. A lady came to the orchard who was quite old. She had a puzzled look as if needing advice. She wanted a surprise for a girl who was nice. Apples are plentiful. Their uses are many. You can buy them by the bushel, the box, or two for a penny. You can bake them or fry them or eat them raw, or even make cider to sip through a straw. There are Golden Delicious, Jonathan, Rome's, and many more, but I am a beauty for people to adore. She looked at me once, she looked at me twice, and finally she said, that one would be nice. She took me home and dried me and gave me hair. She made me some stockings and shoes and other things she thought I could use. She wanted me to be pretty, nice, and fair. Now the story of my sister, Apollina, is not funny but very sad. She was the most favorite sister I ever had. She fell from the bed onto the floor, and along came a dog and ate her to the core. So keep me up high and not on the floor, and I'll live to be 100 or more. People coming in and looking around will see me up there and not on the ground.
That was good.
You were good. When did you write that poem?
Huh?
When did you write this poem?
Well, after I had made the apple dolls.
Mm-hmm. How did
I was starting to get a story of, you know, there was a fellow they called Johnny Appleseed.
Right.
But I couldn't get anything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I made this out of my own noodle.
Right. How did you get started on the apple dolls?
Huh?
How did you get started making apple dolls?
Well, when I moved to, I was 80 years old before I started to do any of this junk work.
Mm-hmm.
I come to a friend and then says, they make an apple, they make hot dogs out of dried apples. And so she wanted me to get started on something. Mm-hmm. So I started that. That's how I got started on. Mm-hmm. Oh, when I had Linda, she was a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. My daughter. Mm-hmm. Well.
Well, yeah.
I'm glad that she's someplace where she don't have to suffer. Mm-hmm. That was God's will, I said. And that's the way I can take things. Mm-hmm. I think it's God's will. Mm-hmm. There's things we have to take, whether we like it or not, whether it's good for us or not, but we have to bear it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing your stories with me today and going through these things from your life. Is there anything we forgot to talk about that you remember now that you want to say?
Well, I can't think of anything. You can ask for something I can ask.
Can you say something in Danish for me on the tape so that we have your Danish voice?
Yeah, that's really the only language that I can say, right? Danish. But I don't know what would I say.
Well, it might be very hard for her to translate all those words. Do you remember a prayer or a saying of some sort in Danish, or can you just tell me something about your home, maybe, in Danish? That remember what you used to say when the meals were over in Denmark? What would you say then?
My dad would say, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you."
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That's what he would say.
Yeah. Because the rest of us never did say prayers. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You never got happy. My husband, he was always in a hurry. He eat now, eat go. Work. It was work all the time. Mm-hmm. Kind of, he was a hard-working man.
I'd be, yeah.
But that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, could you just say a sentence like, "My name is Anna Hansen, and I was born in such a place in Denmark"? Would you just say that for me in Danish?
No, I'll tell you what Christ said.
Okay.
Oh. What, you know, when he asked God what he should say in prayer, "Hans first dawn," that was my, this is what he said, "Hans first for seen the fjender by, O care father them for life, te vadiger de vidi eit, so blind the God is in his way." You understand
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Forgive. It's a way of saying forgive them.
Yeah. That's what Christ said to God. Forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing.
They don't know what
so
they're
blind
do.
They're going.
That's right.
Send us away.
Thank you so much for all this. And this is the end of our interview with Anna Hansen for today. Okay. We were talking about your father. He had a very special honor, you said to me.
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, it was a high honor that a Danish soldier could have.
What was it called again?
Dannebrogsmand. Dannebrog.
Mm-hmm. That's the Danish flag is called the Dannebrog.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How did he achieve that?
Well, that was right after the war. They all, I forgot just exactly how it was. But he earned it.
Which war was that?
That was in 48, 49, and 50. He was in the war for 3 years. And he went in the war for one of his brothers. His brother was married and they were younger men, so my dad took his place. Gally, we could talk till next year.